For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
And I just want to give a trigger warning. The next topic we are going to discuss, many might find upsetting, particularly if it's something you have been personally impacted by. I think everybody who listens is going to be upset. But if you do feel upset by the segment coming up, you can contact support at 1 in 4 nationwide on 01662 4070 or at 1in4.ie. But a number of people who gave testimony to the inquiry into sexual abuse at religious schools in Ireland say they think a paedophile ring was operating in certain schools. The inquiry revealed that almost 2,400 allegations of sexual abuse of children in schools run by religious orders. There were 844 alleged abusers in over 300 schools run by 42 religious orders across the country. Philip Fettis attended Blackrock School and represents the group Restore Together. Philip, you're very welcome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks very much, Claire.
What are survivors' experiences of this?
Well, I think, first of all, survivors' experiences are very long. They're very different. But there's a common thread. I think that it happened when kids were young. And I think what's happened since, in the 50 years since, has been walls of denial, walls of silence, and very little support and a lot of loneliness. And I think that that's the first thing that we need to start addressing immediately. It's great to see that there's light being shone on it now. But I think from our perspective, the first thing that needs to be done is make sure that everybody who is needing help immediately gets help immediately. And, for counselling and therapy, you have your warning there coming in at the intro to the programme here. But I think it's really important for those who are engaged in this process, and also those who are listening to programmes like this and who've been silent, are getting help immediately, confidential, free support.
Because for some, indeed for many, this inquiry is not the first time perhaps that they spoke out about this. And often when they did speak out, they weren't listened to, as you said.
Well, I think that within the depths of the report, it says that 50% of the people who participated, that it was actually the first time that they'd spoken out about it. So this is people who've been living for decades with this problem on their own.
Yeah, I just feel, just as angry for those who did speak out and weren't being listened to. But does anything, I daren't even say the word positive, but is there anything reassuring about being listened to, Philip, and for there to be a formal inquiry? Does that do anything for those who have gone through it?
Absolutely, Claire. It's very cathartic, I think, for everybody to be able to talk about it. The reason people weren't talking about it was that there was no vehicle. It wasn't something that was generally in the public discourse. It wasn't something that people commonly spoke about. And then there was also the barrier of the denial when people did go reaching for help, so within the formal structures of Irish society. So, yeah, I think it's great, as I said at the outset, I think it's great that there is light being shown on them. But for us, it is a question of, the talk is great. What we need is action. What we need is support for everybody, for all those who are still suffering in silence, because we have no doubt that there are a lot more people who still haven't come forward.
Because, of course, this is a huge trauma for somebody to go through, and it really depends on where you are at with your journey. People get very different access to very different supports, and it's very individual, I'm sure, as to how people react. There's no right or wrong way when something this traumatic has happened. So it really depends on all of that as to whether or not you're ready to speak out about something like this. Reading down into the report, I read that several people said that their childhood stopped when something like this happens. And obviously that continues to ripple well into adulthood. So what about talk of a redress scheme and religious orders to make substantial contributions? Obviously, this is not just about a financial gain, but this is about being heard and being recognised. How important is that going to be on people's attempt to heal
it's
journey.
It's hugely important. It's you know, the opposite of denial is recognition. So that it's hugely important what allowed the abuse to happen in the first place. And, you know, first of all, let's remember that this abuse hasn't ended, that there are still paedophiles out there and there's still kids out there. It's just moved to a different location. But what allows it to happen is power imbalance. And redress is hugely important in recognizing this power imbalance and putting it back, reorganizing it, where those who had the power previously are now in a position where they have to say, look, we were wrong. The institutions we represented didn't support you. They didn't provide the care, the duty of care that they should have. And that you did nothing wrong, that you were in the right. And here is one way of recognizing it. This is one way that we can demonstrate that we acknowledge that we should have done more.
Philip, thank you very, very much. It's Philip Fettes there, who attended Blackrock School and represents the group Restore Together. I want to bring in Naomi Gould, the advocacy director of One in Four. You can find out more at oneinfour.ie, and their number is 01662 4070. Naomi, One in Four being the Irish charity supporting adult survivors of childhood sexual abuse, what is your reaction to this?
Good afternoon, Claire. Thank you very much for having me on. I guess from One in Four's position, we fully welcome the publication of the scoping report, and particularly the government's approval of a commission of investigation. We know from talking to some of the participants of the scoping inquiry that they have felt that the process that they were involved in was very survivor focused. It was very respectful. It was very considered. And for that, I guess we commend, you know, Senior Counsel Mary O'Toole and her team on that. And we really hope that the tone that has been established of putting survivors at the heart of these processes will be continued into the commission to investigate. You know, we have to acknowledge the absolute courage and generosity of all of the survivors. I think it was initially 205 survivors who came forward to the scoping inquiry to share their experiences, you know, and in particular mention to Mark and David Ryan, who, without whose speaking out about this a couple of years ago, this fundamental piece of work wouldn't be here today.
And Naomi, as Philip Fettes mentioned there, it's what happens next with this information. Yes, it's very important for there to be a voice given to those who went through this and for there to be an inquiry, but something has to happen then with that information.
Absolutely, Claire. I mean, we can see from the report, and we also know from our work, from working with trauma, from working with you know, survivors of childhood sexual abuse, that some of the things that survivors really need in terms of going forward, as Philip already mentioned, are things like accountability, transparency. You know, skilled professional support is very important, especially in this junction, and really a non-adversarial approach. You know, there was a lot of discussion in the report around, you know, the difference between commission and the tribunal. And, you know, we have seen some testimony in the report around participants maybe who had engaged previously with, you know, adversarial criminal justice systems. It's very important that we really listen to the survivors and that we bring them in terms of consultation. You know, again, I think Philip had said, you know, the opposite to denial is acknowledging it, and also giving survivors back the agency to make decisions about what they want to have going forward and how they want maybe this commission of investigation to run.
And Naomi, when something like this hits the headlines, and I'm very conscious that often we call it a news story, and it's not a story, there are very real people involved in this. Do you see an increase in demand for your services?
We do. We do, Claire. We've spoken to very many men and women since yesterday evening when the report went live. You know, we've spoken to some people who have taken part in the scoping process. We've also spoken to people, you know, in the last couple of hours who have never disclosed the abuse that they endured. We've got many concerned family members and loved ones of people who might have been, you know, affected by this. you know, and what we know from the report is that, you know, the vast majority of participants who took part in the scoping, it came from male religious order run schools. You know, one in four has nearly half of our of the people who contact us are men. So we really, I guess, are encouraging people to reach out for support, for information if they need. You know, we know that when something like this is discussed really openly in the media, again, as Philip used the word cathartic, it absolutely can be cathartic, and it can also be quite you know, difficult and triggering for people. And it's very important that that survivors and anybody affected by anything that they're reading and seeing today know that they have a voice and that there is support out there to hear them and to listen.
Naomi Gould, Advocacy Director at One in Four, thank you very much for coming on. You can find out more at oneinfour.ie. Dr. Joseph Mooney is an Assistant Professor at the School of Social Policy, Social Work and Social Justice at UCD. Joseph, you're very welcome. What prompts people to come forward in an inquiry like this?
Thanks, Claire. So I suppose just firstly, thoughts with the victims and survivors who gave their testimony and those who didn't get a chance to give their testimony and evidence to the scoping inquiry at these very difficult days for them and their families. What prompts people to come forward, I suppose, varies from person to person, but there are some commonalities. I suppose one of the first and foremost issues is being asked. And that's been flagged there by Philip, I think, earlier on, giving people an opportunity to come forward. It's one of the lessons that we can learn from this scoping report, that people were asked and people did come forward. And we know through the scoping report and from research over the past decades on the issue of disclosure of abuse, that when people are given that opportunity and that they know there's a safe space and an opportunity for them to come forward, that they tend to do so. They would see that they're not alone. They would see that there are maybe structures that are willing to listen and willing to believe. Those structures don't always operate, I suppose, and there's many issues that can hinder people from coming forward. And they range from internal issues and barriers to more external issues, such as societal barriers to disclosure. And what I mean by that is I'm talking about societal shame and stigma, the issue of secrecy that Philip spoke very well about there earlier on, and this issue of, I suppose, not being believed or a fear of authority, which is quite specific to this report, given this context within which the abuse was perpetrated, being schools and boarding and day schools.
Yeah, I mean, places where you're supposed to be safe. I suppose, as you say, it's going to be very individual as to why somebody might choose to come forward. And likewise, justice will look different to each survivor. And I suppose it's important that the commission inquiry is able to adhere and adapt to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose the inquiry, and I welcome the report, and as Naomi echoed there earlier on, the government's commitment to take action on the recommendations of the report. The report itself was very good on looking at the various aspects, and in essence, it was a report to find out what victims and survivors wanted. So it's a really good template of how we might move forward. I tend to support the call for a commission of investigation because it gives that flexibility around maybe adopting some of the strategies. Particularly one that stands out for me is this notion of a survivor engagement sort of programme or parallel sort of procedure alongside a commission that would allow people who don't want to come through the formal process to also have their voice heard. And has been echoed by the previous speakers there, that acknowledgement, it's not everything, but it is a significant starting point for people who have been a victim of sexual abuse in childhood, specifically because of those issues around shame and stigma and that ultimate silence that hangs over it.
Dr. Joseph Mooney, Assistant Professor at the School of Social Policy, Social Work and Social Justice at UCD. Thank you very much for coming on. I have the AMRI, the representative body for Catholic orders across Ireland. I have their statement in response to the publication of the scoping inquiry report. It is lengthy. It is a page long, but, you know, some of the parts within it are: we acknowledge the courage and bravery of the victims and survivors. We are deeply sorry that they experienced abuse in religious-run schools. We recognise that we can never know the depth of pain and suffering survivors have endured and continue to endure. We will carefully examine the recommendations and respond accordingly. Well, just to give you out those numbers again, because as Philip Fed has said, there are many people who haven't spoken about this, who are triggered by it. Of course, everyone listening is upset about it, but those directly affected, it can come to your door in many, many different ways. And that helpline is always open to you with highly trained and skilled people. You can share as much or as little as you like. It is 01662 4070. That is 01662 4070, or you'll find out more at oneinfour.ie.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.